Við skulum ekki vakum til marnætur. Það margt sem myrkrið veit, minn hugur þungur.
Welcome to Eerie Iceland. Whether you're captivated by folklore, paranormal, sorcery, the hidden people, haunted things, people or locations in Iceland, you've come to the right place. Here, you'll venture into the dark side of Iceland. I'm Anne.
I'm Vanessa. We're two girl bosses who are obsessed with all of these things. Will you dare to follow us into this unexplainable realm?
Vanessa. Do you ever get a deja vu feeling? You know, the kind of feeling that you've lived that moment before, or a place that you've been there before, even though it's your first time?
I've never experienced like a place before, but like I get deja vu a lot, but it's usually like 10 seconds here and there. And like, it's not like every day. But like, and not every week, but like, I would say it happens more like, I don't know, once a month or something. And it's like these 10 seconds and it's like weird. It's just like, whoa, like I've had that experience before. And it's always something like super random. Like, would you like a bag? No, I brought my own today or something like that.
And it's not like routine things.
No, it'll be like, I'll remember that person and exactly their sentence, but I won't know what their next question is or anything. And it's not until it's happened that I'm like, well, I felt that before. Until in like 5 seconds or 10 seconds. And it's never anything like, it's never anything important. It's not like, oh my God, there's an eruption. Or like, oh my God, like I almost got in a car accident.
Or, oh my God, these are the lottery numbers.
No, nothing like that. It's always like these weird, like nothing things.
Okay.
Like that don't matter at all. And I'm just like, why would I have had that before?
Interesting.
Like a twitch in the matrix almost.
Oh, we're bringing the Matrix now.
Okay, no conspiracy theories. Okay, we'll have to create another blog for that. Another like podcast.
Let's refrain from Matrix.
Okay.
All right, so
what do you have for me today?
Exactly. So when I first came to Iceland long over a decade ago, working on two now actually, the place that gave me that first ever deja vu feeling was the tiny town of Vík í Mýrdal.
It's like your heart, like town.
It is. Yeah. It completely is. And just so for our regular podcast folks, we know we don't have to tell you where Vík is. But for those of you that haven't traveled to Iceland just yet, allow me to paint a picture for you so that you have an understanding of where this place is. So here in South Iceland, there is the most southern town called Vík í Mýrdal, which is approximately 2 hours and 35 minutes from downtown Reykjavík one way. It's a seaside town that is burrowed underneath Iceland's fourth largest glaciers, Mýrdalsjökull. It's surrounded by steep mountains, and the locals pride themselves on keeping old Icelandic traditions alive. Also, the iconic Reynisdrangar rocks, the basalt stacks from our episode number 12 about Icelandic rock trolls, and the mysterious seal people, as you learned about in episode number 7, also call this tiny town home. In summer, it's a place where puffins nest, and in winter, where storms thrive. But we all know from episode number 13, you know, the one from the dark sides of Iceland, that Katla, our subglacial volcano, also lives here as well. All right, so back to where I'm leading you for today's episode. Seriously, from the moment that I first drove down the mountain pass into the town of Vík, which it's an iconic moment. Like if you've not been to Iceland before, actually every time I head into Vík, it's this iconic mountain and moment that you're just like circling down and you come down and these beautiful like crazy shaped mountains are on your left hand side. And then you're coming down and you're really not sure. You pass like where the zip line is and then you kind of come down further. And then there's a beautiful sign, a big, beautiful wooden sign that welcomes you, Velkommen, Vigi Mirardell. And it seriously feels like home. Like, that wooden sign wasn't there when I first went. But the moment that I came down, I was like, this is my home.
Goosebumps.
Like, no joke. Like, every time I go to Vigi still, like, it's nuts. I don't know why. And to that point, when I first came to Vigi, the home I grew up in, Ohio, or any other country that I've ever traveled to, never, ever gave me that vibe. Not even a smidge.
Hmm.
Which is really strange to most people. I mean, like, you probably think that's fucking nuts when we first met and I told you that, right? Because the first time I visited the town, the population was less than 300 people, or at 300 people. And there wasn't even a hotel that was built in the heart of the town yet.
Oh, really?
There were two big hotels on the outsides. There was Deer Hale, Hotel Deer Hale, and Hotel Katla.
Okay.
And there might have been like I don't think there was like even a small guest house. Or maybe if there was, it was like
an Airbnb or something, maybe.
If that, right? If that.
Yeah, I feel like Airbnb didn't come to Iceland until like the later, like 2010 and like more.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Hotel Vigi is not being built. And even at the time, it was like at a Vigi. Yeah. At that time, right? It's like hinging on the Iceland Air properties. Mm-hmm. And overall, the town kind of hunkered down and it felt like a ghost town from September until end of April, until about circa 2015.
Wow.
Really? Like, that's when like the Edda Vigi gets built and mm-hmm. everything starts coming and Iceland Air invests and then it turns into Iceland Air Hotel Vigi and then some of the other areas start growing up with it.
Yeah.
It happens quite quickly, right? And it picks up at an insane speed during that time period from 2015 to 2024 now. Like, it's a completely different place. Like, I remember sitting in Hotel Vigi in the Berg and having dinner and seeing Reina Strongar as my dinner view.
Wow. I didn't do a lot of traveling. When I came back in 2005, I didn't do a lot of traveling. And so I didn't start really traveling the like country again. Until like, I don't know, 2010 probably. I mean, obviously come here kind of early, 2005, get pregnant. Well, let's not talk about all that. But anyways, and so details. It's not until like 2010 and like up that I start actually traveling and like seeing Iceland. And thanks to Anne, I've seen like, you guys, everyone needs to be Anne's friend to see like the places that I've seen, man. Beautiful.
So you would say that it's very different than like what it was to the waypoint that it has now become for the South, right?
1,000%.
Okay, so not only did the town of Vigi feel like home immediately, but part of me knew that I would be back to make this town be my forever home again. Like, even from the first moment that I come to Iceland, I'm like, this is my fucking home. And for some reason, I always felt really drawn to the top of the church area, too. And that is fucking where I'm building my house,
and
right?
And that's weird because you're not even, like, a church person.
No.
Like, at all.
And there was nothing up there at that time.
Yeah. Okay. That makes more sense because I was just like, yeah.
But. No. It's just, like, that view. I was just, like, completely enamored
really
by it.
Pretty.
So I would say call it past lives, deja vu, fate. I don't know, but that's exactly why hashtag Vigi Dreamhouse is full on happening right now. Like right now as I speak, like our house is getting built.
Okay. I'm going to add a hashtag in there too, just because.
Yeah. Tell me. What are you adding?
Hashtag time travel maybe too.
Ooh.
Because maybe. Like if like your old spirit used to live here or something like that, then maybe that's why you'd also feel like
so that. I will say I'm a believer in past lives.
Right. So like that's like that could explain why it felt so homey. But I don't know.
Yeah, like I'm a firm believer in that. And I think that's one of the reasons why like I am drawn to that place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sorry for the skeptics out there or the folks that don't believe in this route, but this is just my personal experience, and I'm just like adding to the.
I mean, we are
story.
In eerie Iceland, anyways. So, like,
we are. So, fucking embrace it.
Yeah.
Let's go on. Okay. So, however, there is another area just outside the town of Vigi that also has a super magical vibe to it that also kind of drew me in. It's also an area that Davies and I were contemplating buying a house while we were building our dream house. Its name is Hovra Brekka. The direct translation is called Head Hill in English. It's a farm that is about 10 minutes east outside of the town of Vigi. And although there is still some surrounding farms and homes in the area, the primary landmarker, for those of you traveling Route 1, the Ring Road in Iceland, the marker would be Hotel Katla. You know, like Katla Volcano, right? But Hotel Katla. The next farm up is named Ketlingerdalur, which translates to Old Lady Valley. And it's picturesque. It's a picturesque farm, scenic, beautiful, and it leads up into the Icelandic Highlands. And this is the scene of where our story is going to begin today, Vanessa. But enough background. Today, I'm going to share with you the most famous story from that area. And it involves forbidden love, a curse or magic, and a swampy ghost. Yeah, you heard me, Vanessa. Swampy. Swamp, swamp, swamp. It's like our favorite little like inside joke between us. Yeah. I'll leave it to our listeners to use their imagination on what that could mean. But yeah, swamp, swamp. It happened on a wedding day. We had to like literally be in a swamp together to get
in
this.
In Norway.
Like, in Norway to get these really fantastic, amazing shots. And we both did not have dry shoes at the end of it. It was great, but similar. So we're gonna grab these swampy ghost vibes.
Okay.
It's happening. But let's rewind back to 1660. This is a time in the south of Iceland that they refer to as the Katla floods. Which, Vanessa, can you help me in Icelandic what that says?
Katla hlaupin.
Yeah, much, much more beautiful in Icelandic, I think.
Not if you understand Icelandic.
Okay. All right. Well, it was a medium-sized eruption with a big flood, which specifically affected a farm and a church at Hovdabrakka. It was there that two brothers lived, named Ísleifur and Vigfús. The latter was a monastery keeper, and he was married to a woman named Jorun Goodman's daughter. Have you heard of her, Vanessa?
Nope.
All right. Those are kind of like, is that a generic name? Or I shouldn't say generic. I'm sorry. Icelandic people, do not be offended.
No, it
is. Jorun. Is Jorun like, yeah. is a Sarah kind of name?
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, maybe
and
not.
And I know Goodman's daughter definitely is more like Smith.
Yeah, I would say Jorun's maybe not like the top three, but it's like the top, it's in the top 10, I would say.
Really?
Yeah, I would say so.
I haven't met anyone named Jorun.
I have, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, there's that.
I would say also like older, like, I mean, I think I know one girl my age, but like mainly it's like elderly women. So like it'll probably come back in a few years and cool. Popular then.
I like it. So people say that Jorun was tall, average in beauty. She was smart, crafty, had a beautiful singing voice, and was an extremely thoughtful host. But she was also said to be bossy, protective, strong-headed, and had a big tendency to be controlling. It sounds like a recipe for a good story, right, Vanessa?
Totally.
So Vigfús and Jorun had several children together. And just like the old traditions often dictated, and in this time in history, and still is, I guess, in some cases, they named their firstborn children after themselves and their remaining children after that, after honorable family names, right? So their firstborn daughter was named Jorunna. So from here, I'll refer to the mother as her nickname, Jóka. So we won't get confused.
Okay.
As the daughter Jorun grows up, she begins to notice the handsome farmhand, Thorstein. Which, what does that translate to, Vanessa?
Well, if you ask me, which is Vanessa, which is a weirdo, I would say like Thor. So think Thor's hammer. And then Steit, which is like rock. So Thor's hammer's rock. Except for it's not Thor's hammer, just Thor, rock. Sorry.
So Thor's rock?
Yeah.
Okay, I
but
like
you
it.
Asked me, so that's why you get all of that.
I love it. I want more than less, so I'm here for it. Okay, so she begins noticing this fabulous, handsome Thorstein?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the farmhand, but he was the definition of poor. He had no land, he had no sheep to his name, And he was seen within the community as less than. Aww. I mean, that's what it was. Yeah. Like back then, like if you didn't have land and if you didn't have sheep, like who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
They met each other in secret because they knew her parents would not approve of their relationship. The reason was likely because Jorunn was talented in everything that she did and showed high promise to marry someone of higher status.
But love is love.
I know, but it has like Romeo and Juliet vibes, right?
Totally.
Agreed.
Like already sad.
It got to a point where living on the farm became so uncomfortable and so hard for them to see each other that Jóka, remember, the mother, mm-hmm. would keep her daughter, Jorunn, locked away. So Thorstein decided to leave the farm, and he sought refuge with a priest in Kirkjubæ Cluster named Magnus. And since he had left the farm, Jorunn was allowed to actually be out and about. So, of course, they were then able to schedule secret meetings between each other, you know, in between this forbidden love that was happening. And at some point, she, of course, gets pregnant. Yeah. No birth control in this time period, right? And it complicates things on a whole nother level, as you can imagine. Jóka finds out and goes absolutely ballistic. She, of course, hunts Thorstein down and threatens him. In fact, some say she threatened him with magic. And after some convincing, he agrees to leave Jorunn because he feared for his own life.
But wouldn't you want the father of your daughter's child to be around? What the F?
Agreed. So some years pass. After the baby is born, and Jóka was selling seal skins in the town with her daughter and some other women of the town, Thorstein showed up and was hoping to have a look at his child and, of course, his lover, Jorunn. However, Jóka spots him. She becomes so enraged by his presence that she yells out a curse or a magic spell, some say. She said that they would never, ever be together and that he could not live on the mainland of Iceland ever again or else she would murder him.
Wow.
Jóka must have had a stroke or a brain aneurysm from being so angry because she died right there.
Whoa.
Can you imagine being so angry with someone that that happens to you?
No.
Right. So after Jóka was buried and the priest he had been living with, Magnus, right, told Thorstein to move to Vestmannaeyjar, or the Westman Islands for us English-speaking folks, and to not return for at least 20 years, but ideally never, because he had no idea how to break this curse. So what would you do, Vanessa?
I'd be like, ding dong, the witch is dead. Fuck you. I'm not going after your weird little curse. Like, how's she going to, like, maintain it? Like, you're gone. That's what I would think. But then again, like, we all know not to. Anyways.
I mean, you do have that adult definition disorder.
Attention deficit,
right? Yeah,
yes.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly.
I'd be like, oh, a butterfly. Oh, what did she say? Did she say I couldn't come back here? I don't think she said that. Like, that's what would happen. I'm like, she died. What's it matter?
So Thorstein heeded the warning from the priest Magnus and did not return from mainland Iceland for 19 years. So he was on Vestmannaeyjar for 19 years. However, in that last year, he gets antsy to be with his child and his lover, Jorunn. So he takes a boat back to Vík. And, like, at this time, this is probably, like, I don't even know, like, what kind of even boats. Like, the amphibian boats aren't happening at this time because they have, like, motors and stuff, right? So it's, like, a proper sea ship, right?
Unless it's, like, one of those, like, rowboats, like, that he has to row. Because, like, you know how, like, ships have, like, the little small ones? Because a ship can't go all the way to harbor.
True.
If it goes to cliffs, it has to, like, take a little, like,
thingy. That's true. True. Good like point.
A dinghy.
So as he makes it to land and he disembarks onto Vík Fjara, Vík Beach, mm-hmm. right? Which is the town or like the beach that is within the town. And he is so flipping excited. However, Thorstein began getting a strange feeling. He then starts hearing creepy noises behind him, a sloshing sound that sounded like someone was walking through a swamp. So I'm picturing something like,
wow, that didn't even sound like it came from your mouth. Good it job. Did.
Not bad, right?
No, like, I think you have another job opportunity.
So as he continues up the beach and towards the farm, and this is, of course, where the mother of his child and the child, I guess the child's not really a child anymore.
Nope.
Fucking young 20 adults. Years old, yeah. Right? They're patiently waiting for him. He runs into a few fishermen nearby who said that they saw Jóka and said that she looked like a draugr and said that she made a sound when she walked because her feet were rotting after 20 years of unrest. Ew. Vanessa, do you remember what a draugr is from our spooky Skullholt episode?
Yes.
You know, the chick that, like, the dead chick that, like, cooked for everyone?
Yeah. She's very petty.
Yeah. She's like your, she was like your
Wasn't
spirit
she, like,
animal.
Naked wearing like a apron. Have some pancakes, sir.
Okay. So seeing her in that zombie like state made the fisherman believe that the curse that she set upon Thorstein in her final moment was true. You know, the one that where she said that she would murder him if he ever returned to see her daughter. You know, that curse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The one I would have forgotten about.
Yeah, exactly. Although he continues to hear the sloshing sound on his journey up to the farm, he continues to tell himself that he's just being paranoid and brushes it off. He makes it up to the farm by nightfall and reunites with Joran and his child. However, he wakes up in the middle of the night to the sloshing footsteps, right? And hands around his neck. She, Jóka, literally took his last breath from him in front of her own daughter.
Yikes.
Now, there's another variation of this story that some stories I read said that Jóka was divorced at the time that Joran became a young woman, and that the reason why that she didn't want Thorstein to and her daughter to be together was that she actually wanted him all to herself. But Thorstein had zero interest, which maybe fuels the later half of the story, you know, from spite.
Yeah.
And although Thorstein's story did not end well, there are some other stories of Jóka haunting the area around Vík. So remember when I mentioned earlier that she had stellar hosting skills? Well, it's said that she would show up in people's kitchens and add dirt to their food and ruin it. And she would go to everyone else's, like, kitchen and just, like, sprinkle dirt on top of it.
Bitch.
I mean, that's kind of a petty thing. I thought you might enjoy that.
Yeah, but like if she did that to me, I'd be like, oh, hell no. Just you wait, honey. I'd be like going on a hunting mission.
And so that way, by her doing this, the townspeople of Vík knew that she was still around.
Wow.
Yeah. Another occurrence of Jóka comes when two women were gossiping about the previous stories they heard. And one very curiously asked the other while they were, like, you know, having girl time, probably drinking mead or wine or something in the barn, what would happen to us if Hjóta Brekka Jóka came to us right now? Within minutes, they heard the feet sloshing sound and Jóka appears to say, what do you think would happen to us? One girl splashes holy water towards her and runs away as fast as she can while the other one passes out, passes the fuck out in fear. No joke. It kind of sounds like that Jóka might be the Bloody Mary of Iceland. What do you think, Vanessa?
Okay, I'm just wondering, why is homegirl, like not Jóka, but like the girls drinking mead or whatever, why do they have like holy water with them?
That is a good question.
Sorry, that's where my mind went to. So do we now have to like start walking around with holy water and going down this like weird rabbit hole of like Icelandic folklore?
I mean, you carry hand sanitizer. I feel like we can just carry a little vial of like holy water with us too.
Okay.
Remember, like sign of the cross and holy water uncovers a whole lot of fucking shit.
Okay. Remind me next time we're like close to like a monastery or something to like grab that real quick.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
On the agenda.
Thank you.
All right, so it's said that the priest Magnus also encounters Jóka a few more times, but one specific occurrence he recalls when he meets her on horseback and implies to her that she once led a respectable life and was once an important part of the church, but now seems to have gone backwards. And she replies saying that it was too late for her to repent. So Jóka is what the locals in the South call a day ghost, in addition to a draugr, which means she shows herself whenever the heck she wants and wishes.
Just like Disa did in the previous.
Exactly. Day ghost.
Yes.
Perfect. And doesn't what was care. That? Episode number 17.
Yeah. Like they don't care. Mm-hmm. They're just that angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fueled by spite.
Mm-hmm.
But it's said that she likes to join crowds or groups of travelers, especially on horseback. In fact, a part of me kind of wants to go over to the Black Beach horseback riding folks and see if they have, like, had any strange occurrences happening.
Okay, but I want to go with, and I have to get, like, on horseback.
Oh, yeah.
You can watch. Fine.
I'm going to walk.
Okay.
I want nothing to do with big animals.
Yay!
So, what did we learn today from the episode, Vanessa?
Okay, love is love. So, like, as long as it's a person, and they're both of age, they should be able to love each other, whether they're poor or not, man or woman, man. Wait, I just said that. Man, woman, you know. Just
like, anything in between.
Yeah, rich or poor, like, healthy and, like, sick. Let people love each other.
I'm God. Being happy.
And stop being narcissistic and, like, controlling and petty, like, you're not going to go to heaven if you're like that or like to like, what's the Viking place?
Valhalla.
Yeah, you're not going to go there if you're like mean.
Agreed.
Like maybe if you're like a great battle person, but like if you're bad, like, yeah. Anyways.
All right. So I'll be honest and say that I secretly hope that I run into her now that I'm living in Vik. But I will say I'm going to always check my food for dirt now.
Well, dirt's not bad for you, but we're going to buy holy water, so you'll be fine. Oh, and if she does go, be like, if she does come and I'm not there, be like, whoa, wait, let me call Vanessa. Let's FaceTime her real quick.
Perfect.
Thanks.
I am so doing that.
Okay, good.
Thank you so much for venturing into the dark side of Iceland with us. We hope our stories resonate with you.
Stay tuned for more Nightmare Worthy podcasts. And if you want to hear more, give us a follow on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. You can also find us on Instagram at Eerie Iceland and by searching Eerie Iceland on Facebook.
See you next time.